Special hour for you. David Icke is with us, and as you know, all of you know, David has written some of the most magnificent and important books of our times, of practically all times, because many of the things David has talked about and identified, of course, have been used throughout organized social history to control and command and exert utter hegemony over humanity. That's what they do. The book is probably going to be an instant bestseller. It should be. It is entitled, and you can find it on the left-hand side of Rents. Just look up there. You'll see a banner for it. You can click and pre-order Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told. That is a great title. I wrote an email to David when I found out that he had a new book coming out, and I didn't know anything about the book. And I just wrote some of my frustrations and observations after 24 years of doing this program and 12 years of television news before that. And everything I mentioned is relevant. Most of you understand the political game is a joke. It's a freak show. It doesn't matter what label you attach to anyone. The game is always the same. Politics is a fraud. It's like a bicycle wheel, just different places on the wheel, but they're all attached by spokes to the central core of control. It just spins, and that's it, and we become mesmerized. The internet is now the same thing. Look at it. I've been saying for how many years now, Google is God. Facetiously, but absolutely seriously, because Google is God. Larry Page, Sergey Brin, Billy Gates at Microsoft, baby Marky Zuckerberg talking about running for El Presidente. And by the way, he went over there and scooped Trump. He got a meeting in the Great Hall with President Xi before Trump got there. He's got all his photo ops done with President Xi now. I'm telling you, this, you watch, just watch, see where it goes. All of these acquisitions and mergers, six corporations own 98% of the media now. What do we have? Google, Facebook, Twitter, Yahoo, YouTube, PayPal, and a half dozen others run the internet now. Well, they're private enterprise, and they can take you off and censor you if they want to, because it's not a government agency. It's not protected by the Constitution. It's a free enterprise. Look, the big deal, of course, is the individual absolute addiction to smartphones. We've all seen it. I won't go into it. These people who use them can't put them down. If they're not holding them in their hand, they begin to go into withdrawals. No, I'm not kidding. It goes on and on from there. This is the new world order. This is the most original, technologically brilliant means of control of mass humanity that I could ever imagine seeing. And it's only going to get much more intense, much more complete, and just wait until they turn AI loose on all of us, and maybe on themselves. We shall see. Hello, David. Welcome back.
Morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Yes. So the book, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told. And when we mentioned this, you said, I've got it all covered in there and much more. What brought you to this point where you've got it all together? And this is going to be maybe your greatest book. I don't know. I haven't read it yet. But we're dealing in a time now that when you began to write books 20 years ago, we were much different back then. Tell us about the book.
Well, I started writing books on this subject in the early 1990s, and you know, I've been on this road, as we both have, for the best part of 30 years. And you pick up information, which adds to information, which adds to information. But as you get more and more experience, you start to an understanding of how the world is working. You start to filter out that which is interesting and relevant, and focus on that which is absolutely central. And it's this backbone, this web, this theme, this constant theme, that has been my focus for some time now. And that theme, and it's has so many facets and so many faces, can be summed up in one word: perception. Perception is the key to everything, and this whole web of control is focused entirely on perception. When there's a few of you, and compared with the global population, it is a few we're talking about, a ridiculous, staggering, shockingly few, you cannot control people physically, or you can start to build technological structures that can do that, but on the road to that, you can't control people physically on the scale of the population. So you have to control their perception, because once you've got their perception, you're controlling what they think, what they don't think, what they support, what they don't support, what they challenge, what they don't challenge, and every aspect of human behavior comes from perception. And so how do we get perception? We get it from information received. Now, this can be anything from a personal experience to the 10 o'clock news. But of course, the vast majority of people in the world are getting their information, thus forming their perceptions, from the equivalent symbolically of the 10 o'clock news. And so if you look at the way that people form their perceptions and the information which gets them to do that, we're looking at the media up to this point in terms of print and television, radio. Well, you look at that and you see corporations, a tiny few corporations, controlling that, most blatantly obviously in America, but elsewhere too. But as you kind of indicated there, we're in a process of moving from that kind of media, which can be controlled, yes, but it can't be controlled algorithmically. There has to be some human censorship in there, which can trigger human debate and some kind of discussion on what's being censored and what's getting in and what isn't. But what we're seeing now is this movement to dominate the information from which people form their perceptions to the internet. And to and you mentioned them. I call them the monsters from the devil's playground, Silicon Valley, which is, of course, Google. Google owned YouTube, Facebook, and the others that you mentioned. We shouldn't forget Amazon either.
God, no. He wants a key to your house now, David, so he can put his packages in your front living room.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, where it's going, of course, is a complete monopoly of everything. And crucial to that monopoly is the monopoly of information from which people form their perceptions. So two things are happening now is that we see this movement to information from the internet. And of course, the continued demise of the print media and what have you as this internet tyranny takes over. And what we're now having, of course, is algorithmic censorship, whereby there doesn't even have to be a human input. It's censored by artificial intelligence, in effect, which is very, very significant, artificial intelligence. So what we're obviously seeing now is a increasing censorship of the alternative media through algorithmic censorship. And the idea, of course, in the end, is that you will only see what the system wants you to see, so you will perceive the world in the way they want you to perceive it. This is where we're going now. But, of course, this is not the end. What I lay out in the book is where this technological revolution is going. And what we're doing and have been manipulated to do is to build a technological prison cell, which will move human control to a level that almost no one will have thought of until recent times. Because up to this point, my last book was called Phantom Self. And what I call Phantom Self is that fake self that confuses what we're experiencing with what we are. What we are, I suggest, is a state of awareness, a state of being aware. We have bodies and we have other details and what have you in terms of how we experience reality. But in the end, we are that which is aware. Now, we are potentially infinite awareness, massively expanded awareness, well beyond what we call the human mind. And to control en masse, this network has had to squeeze perception and squeeze the range of consciousness that people are operating on essentially into a five sense perception of everything. Can I see it, touch it, taste it, hear it? Okay, it must exist then. That, of course, is what most of mainstream science is based upon. So up to this point, we've had the control of perception by the suppression of information about the nature of reality and the nature of who we really are, and all this other information that has formed people's very narrow perceptions, what I call in the book the postage stamp consensus, this narrow band of sense of the possible. What this technological revolution is about is taking that onto a whole new level of control, excuse me, where you have connections to artificial intelligence, technological connections. This is what the people like, of course, Kurzweil are talking about, and these other crazies and promoters of Frankenstein in Silicon Valley, where the human mind, as we now perceive it and we experience it, will actually be replaced by artificial intelligence. So instead of up to this point manipulating perception and manipulating thought, AI will become that perception and become that thought. And when you follow the process of what I call the totalitarian tiptoe, where you start at A and then you know you're going to Z, but you you know if you go in two bigger steps, you're going to people are going to see the connections.
Correct.
So you go you go in as big a steps as you can get away with, but not so big that you alert people to what's going on.
It's so cleverly incremental the way they do it.
And when you look at the technology, Jeff, the technological expression of this, it's in our face. Number one, get them addicted to technology that they hold, the phones, the tablets and stuff.
They literally hold it, David, in their hand, and they actually, I think, at a subliminal level feel, because they're holding it, they're still somehow in control.
Yeah, and I also think, I mentioned this in the book, I think there's something coming off those phones, something electromagnetically, some energetic frequency, which is actually encouraging and pressing that addiction. But then you go
I think you're right, and I think it's pushing also a servile response from the human mind and psyche, because we are electrical and they know the damn frequencies for almost any and every human emotion. And why wouldn't they come out of a smartphone or a cell phone with this grid of towers all over the country, all over the UK, everywhere now? They are sitting on absolute control beyond belief, and they're not going to miss that boat. And I think you're 100% right. I think there are electromagnetic fields and frequencies being emanated from these things all the time.
Absolutely. I've been convinced of this for a long time. And if you go to the next stage of this totalitarian tiptoe, the next stage was what I call wearables. So we go from holding it to having it on the body. This is Bluetooth, this is Google Glass, this is Apple Watches, and they're pulling you in. And so the goal all along has been to get technology inside the body. And now we're moving to implantables. It's been an obvious sequence of events pulling people in. I was in talking in Sweden recently, they're microchipping people there because it makes it easier to open doors. Apparently, you don't have to push it. I mean, it's crazy, man. They're having parties when a new
parties,
person
huh?
is chipped to celebrate. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Unbelievable.
It's just crazy because what we are looking at now is a real big parting of the road. I've been on a world speaking tour now since the summer of 2016, and I've seen a massive parting of the road where more and more people, there's no doubt about it, are awakening to seeing the world in a different way. And, mm-hmm. and people within the system I've met who you'd never think would ever start to see it. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, we're getting people pulled more and more and more into it as they fall for this charged up, upgraded perception control that we are seeing. And of course, where it's really been focused is on the young, because if you look at people like Kurzweil's timescale for bringing in this AI control on this kind of starting in the scale we're talking about, mm-hmm. it's when young people today will be adults. So that this is an incredibly targeted generation, and this is why we're seeing this snowflake generation, what I call Generation Jelly, mm-hmm. In the universities and the colleges, mm-hmm. And all the safe spaces and the deplatforming, as they call it.
Oh, and the teddy bears and the hot chocolate and the hugs. It's just unbelievable.
What is happening is the human resistance to control is being systematically eroded as symbolically the back. Get people frightened of everything, frightened of their shadow, frightened of someone saying something they don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Well, where do they give their power to? They give their power to the big brother state to protect them from this massive and ever-increasing range of things that they are manipulated to fear. So this all connected, all of it.
So it's an incremental addiction driven by a baseline primal fear. It's part of a duopoly of control at a level, again, that's never been done before. And you're totally right that the young people are being absolutely targeted. They are. They'll wait a generation. What do they care? You got it. And you parents out there who buy your kids smartphones when they're 8 and 9 years old, oh, shame on you. You've just sold your child out to the system, the matrix. Goodbye.
Yeah, absolutely. And another area. See, what's been so interesting for me, Jeff, is I go around the world with an all-day talk. In fact, I'm going to do the last one on this tour in the Netherlands at the end of this month. Mm-hmm. It's actually an event for Germany, but they won't let me speak in Germany, so I'm speaking just across the border in Maastricht in the Netherlands, so Germans can come and hear it. Uh-huh. And the talk lays out what the agenda is in many, many and various ways and areas that all fit together. So every time I go into a new country, and I've been to America, to Australia, all the way through Europe, through the Balkans, Iceland, Scandinavia, everywhere. When I go into a new country, I go through my checklist in the talk to see what is happening in that country in relation to this checklist. And if anyone doesn't believe that there is a global, centralized, dictated agenda going on for the world, they should have been on my shoulder in the last 18 months. Because you go into a new country, it can be a different culture, whatever. And the ticks.
Yeah.
And one of them, Jeff, and this is another area that all fits into this, is this explosion of obsession with transgender. People are complaining about that everywhere. Oh, there's transgenders everywhere, just as they're complaining that political correctness is everywhere. And so I've always had this saying, when something comes out of nowhere and is suddenly everywhere, it's the agenda. Someone's pressed a button.
You bet.
So what the heck is all this transgender stuff about? Well, as I put the dots together in the book, the plan in the end is that the artificial intelligence perception dictated controlled humanity in the end is planned to be a synthetic humanity, a synthetic human form. They're already obviously creating synthetic genetics now. And of course, what we see in the public arena is always light years behind what's happening in the shadows, in the background, and the secret projects. And this synthetic human is not meant to even procreate. It's not meant to be male or female. But we're looking at the... basically, the World Hatchery Centers of Aldous Huxley in Brave New World. Yeah. For me, as I put the dots together, what's happening is, again, overwhelmingly, the young generations are being perceptually prepared for the end of gender, for this fusion into this synthetic human, which will not have gender. And so everywhere you go, you see this. Of course, it's further forward in some places than others, but everywhere you go, you see the same thing. This obsession with transgender, when you're talking about a tiny, tiny, although increasing because of the propaganda section of society. And that's the point. You know, my problem is not with transgender. How people see themselves and live their lives, none of my business. I have a simple philosophy. Do what you like so long as you don't impose it on anyone else.
That's right. But
the thing is that this is not about, as it's claimed, challenging discrimination against transgender people. This is about confusing people about their gender, especially the young who weren't confused before. And this is what it's happening. It's this perceptual manipulation to bring people into this gender doesn't exist mindset.
Emotional, intellectual chaos. Absolutely. Divide and conquer. Chaos. Introduce it through perception. Brilliantly stated. Germany's highest court ruled yesterday in favor of the introduction of a third gender category for people who do not identify as either male or female or are born with an ambiguous sexual anatomy. So it's again being pushed at the, quote, governmental level. It's at all levels. But as you brilliantly point out, it's being done in baby steps. Here and there, not huge steps, not to be seen, not to be noticed, incremental and inexorable from A to Z. You got it.
Yeah, we've got one of these private schools, you know, big, very large fee-paying schools for the rich in Britain, and one of them is introducing a policy where boys can come to school wearing a dress, wearing girls' clothes, because we're, you know, transgender and all that stuff. Right. And there was an interesting quote. I quote the guy in the book. He's saying, basically, you know, we have to respond to this transgender change that's going on. And then he says, well, basically, until recently, no one was saying anything about this. You know, no one was talking about it. We had no mention of it at school. No pupils complained about it. No pupils claimed that they were a fluid gender. But now they are. We've got to respond to it and let, you know, boys come to school in dresses. Now, but the question the guy clearly didn't get round to asking is why? Why was no one complaining before? Why was no one talking about being gender fluid before? And now suddenly it's got to a point where you're going to let boys come to school in dresses. Where has it come from? Thing is, the change in so many and various ways is getting faster and faster. Mm-hmm. And you only got to go back just a little few years when transgender was basically not mentioned.
No. Nope.
The odd mention, you know, two or three times a year in a newspaper. Now it's everywhere. This is not by accident.
No accident. No accident. Yeah. You've made so many important points. And I want to go back to one you made earlier. When something appears, and I'll put quotes around this, overnight, just all of a sudden it's there, whether it's a political persuasion, a social sexual identity, this whole transgender thing, which popped up out of, quote, nowhere, or an internet personality, and there have been a lot of those. You've got to look behind the person or the event or the circumstances and understand that it came from somewhere. It didn't just happen. This is a plan.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the thing with Harvey Weinstein. For some reason, they hung one of their own out to dry there.
Yeah.
And what has happened? Someone pressed a button. Now that is everywhere. And I'm not saying that it's not absolutely right that when people harass and sexually abuse women, they shouldn't face the consequence. Absolutely, they should. But what is happening? You I'm sure have seen what has been going on in the Westminster Parliament in Britain, where a great stream of members of Parliament have been accused now of indiscretions in the past, or often years ago. Is that things that we would call in Britain a bit of banter, a bit of a laugh, you know, a bit of to and fro, a bit of, you know, spontaneous conversation, are now being lumped in as serious sexual harassment with genuine sexual abuse. And what this has done is it's all creating one newspaper headline talked about how Westminster was had actually frozen. It was in a frozen state, in the sense that people were frightened to do anything. And so if you're going to divide and rule, you've got to put wedges and divisions between everybody. And so this has been used to start to drive big wedges between men and women, where men are frightened of saying or doing anything in case they're accused of sexual harassment, when that's not their intention at all. And what's being destroyed, again, you can't say this in political correctness about transgender, you can't say this about mass immigration, etc. What it's doing, it's putting an end to open, free discourse, spontaneous conversation.
Right.
People are going through this mental gymnastics now before they speak to make sure that they've got their wording right. This is destroying human discourse on purpose. And you'll see when you read the book, Jeff, all the things you're not supposed to say, all the things you're not supposed to point out, they're all in there, because I am frankly sick of it. I'm not having it. I'm not going to be silenced because someone tells me what I can think and what I can observe and what I can point out. And if they don't like it, they can do the other thing. That's just as good for me, because we have to draw a line here and then start rolling it back.
Because if we
go on being intimidated into silence over things that are fundamental to the future of human society, then we're actually going to walk backwards far enough, and we ain't too far away, and we're going to feel a wall behind us here and no further. And at that point, there will be no freedom. There'll be no information that the state doesn't
then
want. We've got
it's
to
over.
Stand up to this.
If we don't do it now, it's over. We're done. And again, I've said this for years and years, as has David, when you become afraid to speak anything that is considered politically taboo or not PC, you then thereafter begin to become afraid to think it. It's a reflex. That's how they get to mass mind control. First, they take away your right to speak it, and then reflexively, you begin not to even think it.
That's exactly what happens, and we're getting there. People are going through the most insidious, most destructive, most extreme form of censorship, which is self-censorship. Once you self-censor yourself, there is no debate anymore about why something's being censored and why something can be said and something can't be said. It's all gone. People just don't say it. And this is why I've written this book in the way I've written it, not to be provocative, but just to say, hey, this is what is happening. These are the elephants in the living room. Hello, look. And don't you dare tell me what I can say and what I can't say, because I'm saying it. And I'm sure that a lot of people that read the book will punch the air because it's saying things they'd love to say but are too intimidated to say. Maybe they fear losing their job. And other right. groups will be absolutely furious. And so they should be because they – see, this is the point, Jeff. We live in this world of complete inversion. So what we're having now is another thing I go into in the book in at some length pointing this out. We have an inversion whereby people called progressives who are claimed to be liberal. If you look at the dictionary definition of the word liberal, the last thing they are is liberal. Liberal is about free speech, free opinion, free society. They are the last Indeed. People who are liberal. Mm-hmm. And anyone who is standing for free speech now is some kind of Nazi. We'll say they're Nazis. I mean, you know, Antifa and all these groups. I mean, they're anti-Nazi. What? You're joking.
They might as well be.
What did the Nazis do in Germany? Right. They burned the books and they controlled the flow of information to the people. And that is what we're having digital book burning now, Jeff. This is what Google do. This is what Facebook are doing.
That's
digital
right.
book burning. And
digital video burning, too.
Exactly, with YouTube. And so we've got this situation now where a mindset, a fundamentally manipulated mindset, which is massively come out of this snowflake perceptual manipulation in the colleges and the universities, which is claiming to be pro-diversity while destroying it, being pro anti-Nazi while acting like them. And so it's this mindset that claims to be so heart on the sleeve that he's actually the new tyranny. And it's the tyranny that's taking us along the very road
it's tyrannical. It's the most hideous, tyrannical deception I have ever seen. It is reverse projection, black is white, up is down. Remember when we tried to make that point many years ago? Well, you're seeing it right now, as David has just described it. All of these so-called liberals are, in essence, the antithesis of what they pretend to be.
Exactly. And so what we're seeing is the demonization of basic human freedom. So, again, it's all about perception manipulation. So what you do is you connect words, you connect themes in the public mind so that when one word is said, you think something else in relation to it. So what they're doing now, not least blatantly in the United States, is to connect freedom of speech with white supremacists.
Exactly.
So you for freedom of speech or you're one of them Nazis? No, actually, Nazis destroyed freedom of speech. I'm actually for it. But everything's being reversed. And because of this this progressive, as it's called, snowflake mentality, it doesn't think. We're in a post-fact society. What it's about is emotion and emotional response. Everything's on emotion. It's not about facts. Not about what's right and what's wrong, what's provable, what isn't provable. It's about the emotional reaction. Everything is emotion.
It's a war on intellect is what it is.
It's a war on critical thinking. Absolutely. Absolutely right. And it's happening globally. I tell you that I've been traveling around the world in the last 18 months. It's happening globally. But people are waking up to it. In greater numbers. Mm-hmm. But the big problem they have, and I've talked to so many about this around the world, is they're intimidated into speaking out because this whole progressive tyranny has become very, has made a lot of people very fearful about speaking their truth, which is another reason why I've written the book in the way I have, to show actually you can speak your truth. And you know, you don't have to concede your basic human right to think your own thoughts and speak your own truths to this rabble that's trying to destroy your discourse.
Dirt. The book is called Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, and it comes out, and you can pre-order it right now. The banner's on my site, or just go to David's site. This whole issue of let's call it fighting back, just as a reflex here. We want to oppose this, and yet they are cleverly and craftily and evilly creating an entire world environment which promulgates their evil agenda. So we are living in a hostile environment to the very things we have to do to break through the control, David. That's the problem. We're going to have to begin to take an axe and chop out our own little safe world away from the electronics and the digital manipulation and the control of everything from A to Z. And that's what they're doing. So we've got a problem. The world environment, this is damn near planet evil now. We've got to be able to be strong enough to create around each and every one of us and our loved ones and friends an environment that will oppose this, or we're done.
Yeah, and one of the things we need to do, of course we need to acknowledge political happenings, of course we do. But we have to not get pulled into it as if that's the focus of everything. In so many ways, the pro-Trump, anti-Trump, all this stuff, first of all, it's a wonderful vehicle for divide and rule. But also, it's a wonderful cul-de-sac for perception. Because the real stuff, if you want to know the real point of where we should be focusing on, ladies and gentlemen, it's Silicon Valley. And it's that which controls Silicon Valley, like DARPA, the technological development arm of the Pentagon. And everything else is different levels of diversion, because that's where it's heading. And while we're focusing on, if you like, the oil rags, we're not seeing the engineers of all this, which is in the background. But one thing, Jeff, I have been encouraged by is the way that people are now starting to see that that which is behind Israel is not what it appeared to be. I'm seeing this with more and more people, that they're starting to realize that actually there's more to Israel and that which controls it than they thought. It's not just a little local difficulty, if you like, that it's starting to impact on people, that this is a global phenomenon.
Oh, yes, it is.
Zionism.
0.2% of the world population identifies itself as Jewish. How much of that is Zionist Jewish, I couldn't tell you. But that's to give you an idea of what David's saying, how tiny a fragment is controlling the planet. Look what happened to you in Canada, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, well, but for the, according to media reports, but for the mayor of Canada saying, overruling the city-owned theater management, then I would not have been allowed to speak there in apparently a free country. I can't, up to this point, speak in Germany. 14 venues either wouldn't take the booking or cancelled once it was taken, and the Zionist hate groups started lying about what I was going to say. But there is an area of Zionism, which I look at this in the book. It's known as revisionist Zionism. It's basically the creation of a guy called Jabotinsky, who thought that violence and to impose extreme Zionism was perfectly okay. And, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu's father, Benzion Netanyahu, was Jabotinsky's personal assistant, and out of the Jabotinsky movement came terrorist groups in Israel that bombed Israel into existence, like Ergun, etc. So it's this inner core. See, you're absolutely right. You look at Jewish people in general, okay, and depending on how you define it, take a mean figure. Of people that absolutely identify with being Jewish, the figure says it's about 15 million in
Correct.
A world of 7.5
right.
billion.
Right.
But then you take away from that 15 million those who vehemently oppose Zionism. Okay, there's some. Then you've got the great number who they identify with being Zionist because Zionism to them is support for the existence of the state of Israel. So take them away, who don't have a real idea of what's actually being done in their name in the inner core, and you're left with basically this tiny group that shall we call them, revisionist Zionists, Jabotinsky Zionists. And there, and I point this out in the book, it's, you know, it's an elephant in the living room. I mean, hello, we need to look at it. The ratio of that group pushing that agenda to positions of power in the United States, in Britain and elsewhere is absolutely fantastic. And we've been talking, Jeff, about control of perception. Well, even the Israeli press has written articles about the fact that Zionism controls Hollywood. Weinstein being famous example. Yes, exactly. Now who owns Google? Who owns YouTube? Who runs Facebook?
Facebook. Same people.
And, you know,
PayPal. Come on.
One of the things I mentioned in the book, I've got it in front of me now, in a little subsection called Upping the Ante, the infamous Anti-Defamation League, which, of course, if we're talking about inversions, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith actually is something that goes around defaming people.
That's their job.
We've got the Southern Poverty Law Center that's got a massive bank account and puts its money offshore. These organizations are targeting alternative information to challenge what they want people to believe. And there is this story in the book. The Anti-Defamation League is planning a state-of-the-art command center in Silicon Valley to monitor everything online that it decides is hate.
That's right.
The definition of hate is this context, anything that criticizes Israel and anything. That they decide is hate. So here's another common theme is that this, if you like, inner core revisionist Zionism, which of course is controls the mind of people like Benjamin Netanyahu, not least because of his father. Look at the control of information that this group has. Again, look at the mainstream televisual and print media against the number of their numbers as a whole worldwide. And there's another elephant in the living room pattern here, controlled by a tiny few pushing the same agenda of information from which the global population, now we're talking about Silicon Valley, forms its perceptions. It's so blatantly obvious, and it's about time it was said, because if it's not said, it'll reach its goal of what we've talked about already, the end of the human mind as we know it.
That's exactly right. This group in Silicon Valley is everything David has described and more. They are literally at the nerve center of one critical strata of the whole Silicon Valley machine. They are the arbiters of what will and will not be accepted as okay. They're going to make the decisions. And the SPLC and other groups, what do they do? What is their job? It's to defame, slander, and smear people and organizations like David Icke, like Jeff Rentz, and others who are still trying to speak the truth here. We have got to wake up to this, and this book is going to be a revolution in terms of presenting things that heretofore haven't been between two covers. And David's talked about them for years, of course, but I get the sense that they are finely honed now. And when you look at the American political process, you have to think of the so-called Democrats, David, the liberals, and the conservatives and the Republicans as being the AIPAC party. The AIPAC party.
Well, I mean, you've probably seen the story, I'm sure you have, that we've just had in Britain, where this lady called Priti Patel, who was the International Development Secretary in the UK government, has just had to resign because she went on holiday to Israel, and then met a stream of Israeli politicians and officials, not least Benjamin Netanyahu as well. She went there on holiday with her family, just happened to be accompanied by one of the great Zionist manipulators in Britain, a guy called Lord Pollock, and was discussing things with them which the Foreign Office of Britain knew nothing about. We've had this story, which I cover in the book, of the secret filming by Al Jazeera of an official of the Israeli embassy in London, talking to, in different parties, to members of this network of Israeli manipulation called Friends of Israel. The major political parties in Britain all have a conservative Friends of Israel, which this Priti Patel was very much involved in, Labour Friends of Israel, etc. And this guy from the embassy was caught on film talking about wanting to take down, that was his words, take down a British government minister who had a different view of Israel to the one they wanted people to think. This is what's going on all the time. I mean, there was the story this week, of course, involving Harvey Weinstein, that he used a group called, an organization called Black Cube.
Yeah. Ex-Mossad.
Which is very Masonic and Saturn symbolism. The Black Cube is the Jewish symbol of their god El, their Saturn god El, and Ens Elohim and all that stuff. Anyway, he used this Black Cube organization to try to stop actresses and other people from coming out with this information. And what is Black Cube? It's an organization made up of Mossad agents, former Mossad agents, but forget the former, and other Israeli intelligence groups. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. It's because there is an agenda to sell a perception. And thus, there has to be a network to stop information that would challenge and expose that perception from coming out. And this is what, these are the two streams that are going on. One stream is downloading the perception to people, and the other one is stopping any other source of information to challenge that download. That, in the most simple terms, is what is happening in front of our eyes all the time, every day.
They're no longer even pretending stealth. They're right in our faces. They have no respect for us. They own the media. They know, and I don't know where the big room is where they work, where they've got all these stats and big screens, but they know, and they can probably watch in real time graphs and charts of how the human mind, the intellect, is being subverted and subjugated to their hegemonistic approach to life on this planet. They have no other way to look at it except control or die. And if they are threatened with losing their control, they will take this whole planet down with them. I believe that, and I've always said it.
Well, there's another major aspect of the book, and that is who controls the controllers. And this takes us off planet. It takes us into other dimensions of reality beyond the visible light, ridiculously narrow frequency band we call the world that we see. And it's, you see, it's my view, and I explain in the book why, and with supporting evidence, that this technology that's been rolled out and continues to be rolled out faster and faster existed, or the knowledge of it existed, when humans were knocking rocks together. For me, you see, when a global control system requires high technology, computerization, etc., and then in the time frame that you want to introduce it, suddenly out of nowhere, this technology appears because some geek in a garage discovered it. I mean, I watched a BBC documentary, actually it was a series of two, on Silicon Valley, and they did this sequence of garage doors, Jeff, And it was garage door, garage door, garage door. And they were saying, this was discovered and developed here. This was discovered and developed there. This was discovered and developed there. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, haven't they got a better story? It's not someone said, hey, we're giving them too many garage door stories. We've got to change the narrative. Uh-huh. This technology is being brought into the public arena in a systematic ABCD way and it was there before. You know, we're in a timeline reality.
That's right.
That is only one timeline. It's not every timeline, and we need to understand that there are forces at work in the background that are working through these networks that we see and these networks in the secret societies, and it's this force that's driving it and has been since ancient times. This is why it's been going on for thousands of years, with power being gathered at the center more and more and more and more and more. We go from a tribal situation to kingdoms and countries, and then in Europe we go to loads of countries together in the European Union, and we're then centralizing power in information until basically now it's dominated in one area of California called Silicon Valley. The centralization of power has been incessant throughout known human history, and for me it's all planned.
It's all planned. Nothing has been left to chance. There are no random events anymore, not significant ones. It's all orchestrated. You've just nailed it. David's new book, Essential Reading for Every Human Left on the Planet. Everything you need to know, but have never been told. Well, you got a very good look at what's in the book tonight, and there's much more. Go to the link, and you can pre-order it right now. When will it actually be shipping, David?
Next week, Jeff.
Very good. Thank you for being here.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Always is. You take care.
Bye.
Mr. David Icke, up very early in the UK. And what an hour. What a great book this is going to be. Everything you need to know but have never been told. Next week, shipping, pre-order right now. DavidIcke.com or click the link, either one. All right. There's a lot to think about, and that book may be our last rallying point. We'll see. It's up to you. Back tomorrow.